This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, Gaza farmers launch a call to boycott Israeli produce. Israeli settlers attack a Palestinian village backed by the Israeli army, which arrested children. Also, we'll have an update on Palestinian political prisoners on hunger strike with Murad Jadala of Ad-Damir, the prisoner support organization in the West Bank.
To refuse the meals in August. Now he's 46 kilos, and today they took him to Asaf Harofer Hospital, which is a private hospital, and his situation is very critical. He could have at any moment a heart attack. He could pass away at any moment.
We'll also talk about a new report on how half of Palestinian child prisoners are held illegally outside the West Bank in Israeli prisons equipped by G4S, a multinational private security company, and news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, including a report on mobilizations across Palestine and Europe as activists call for boycott of Israeli agribusiness. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor for the Electronic Intifada in Berkeley. We begin in the Gaza Strip. Our contributor Joe Catrone reported last week that dozens of Palestinian farmers and fishermen launched several days of action across Gaza in an effort to support and strengthen boycotts of Israeli agricultural corporations and their products. Catrone reported, quote, "The protests, organized locally by the Union of Agricultural Work Committees, are part of a day of action coordinated globally by the Union, other Palestinian agricultural organizations, and the Palestinian Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions National Committee. The effort follows the January 28th announcement that South African fruit importer Karsten Farms had severed its ties with Israeli agricultural exporter and settlement producer Hadik Laim. The precedent-setting victory came after a year of successful campaigning by South Africa's Palestine Solidarity Alliance and BDS South Africa. It also follows a day of action last September, coordinated with the Union of Agricultural Work Committees by Canadian activists. Murad Kidah, a farmer in Gaza, said at an action at a Gaza seaport, quote, "We must boycott Israeli agriculture because these products support settlements and the siege, while we can't even export outside the Gaza Strip. We need to support our own products." Catrone added, quote, "Israel tightly restricts the Gaza Strip's imports and exports, flooding local markets with agricultural and other goods while preventing nearly all Palestinian products from leaving. In 2012, 131,997 truckloads of food and agricultural products entered the Gaza Strip through checkpoints controlled by Israel. Palestinians were only able to export 731 truckloads, according to data compiled by the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs." In another report published this week on the Electronic Intifada, Eva Bartlett writes that hundreds of Palestinian farmers, activists, and international supporters marched in the Gaza Strip's eastern Zaytun district, about half a kilometer from the boundary with Israel. They were renewing a call for the boycott of Israeli goods. Bartlett added, quote, "With signs reading boycott Israeli agricultural products and support Palestinian farmers, those protesting Israeli oppression of Palestinian farmers joined together on Saturday to plant olive trees on Israeli-raised farmland and to implore international supporters to join the boycott of Israeli produce." 45-year-old Tawfiq Mandil believes that the boycott is his only hope for justice for Palestinian farmers being targeted by the Israeli army and oppressed by Israel, reported Bartlett. Quote, "We hope that it will put pressure on Israel to stop targeting us and allow us to farm our land as we used to. By engaging in the trade of settlement produce, states are failing to comply with their obligation to actively cooperate in order to bring the Israeli settlement enterprise to an end." Mandil added, quote, "Therefore, a ban on settlement produce must be considered among those actions that third-party states should undertake in order to comply with their international law obligations." Bartlett added in her report on the boycott action, quote, "With an Israeli surveillance blimp hovering above and within sight of a remotely controlled machine gun tower, the significance of the rally's location near the buffer zone was not lost. Israeli authorities prohibit Palestinians from accessing the 300 meters flanking the Gaza-Israel boundary. In reality, the Israeli army regularly attacks Palestinians up to 2 kilometers from the boundary in some areas, rendering more than 35% of Gaza's farmland off limits. For much more on these stories, visit electronicintifada.net. The Electronic Intifada reported this week that the Israeli army has been arresting Palestinian children as young as 12 years old in the village of Azun near Qalqilya in the West Bank, while Israeli settlers from a nearby settlement colony have also attacked people in the village. 9 young men, including 6 children, have been arrested by the Israeli army beginning earlier this week. Ad-Damir, the Palestinian Prisoner Support and Human Rights Organization, released a statement that said, quote, "On February 9th, settlers twice attacked the village. At 7 p.m., they first tried to attack the home of a village member, before returning later that night at 9 p.m. to again attack the village. After Israeli occupation forces arrived, violent clashes broke out until 11:45 p.m., with the Israeli army using tear gas, rubber bullets, and sound bombs. The following day, on February 10th, a group of settlers again attacked the village, closing off the main road for 2 hours. The next morning, Israeli soldiers again raided the village and arrested 9 people, including 6 children, the youngest of whom is 12 years old. 5 of the 9 have since been released, reported Ad-Damir. The Israeli army also barricaded the main entrance of the village with concrete blocks, forcing residents to walk 6 kilometers around the village to the other side. This is just the latest spate in a series of violent attacks by Israeli settlers and soldiers against the people of Azun village. To read more about this story and the history of recent Israeli assaults on Azun, visit Adri Newhoff's blog at electronicintifada.net. The Electronic Intifada reported in our Rights and Accountability blog this week that out of the 195 Palestinian children from the West Bank detained in Israeli prisons, more than half of them are being held outside of the occupied territory in violation of international law, according to recent Israeli reports. According to December 2012 Israeli Prison Service data, 51% of child detainees had been transferred to Megiddo, Muscovia, Hasharon, and Al-Jalameh prisons located outside the West Bank. The Electronic Intifada reported, quote, "This transfer to Israel is a violation of the 4th Geneva Convention, in particular Articles 49, 66, and 76. The latter states that persons accused of offenses shall be detained in the occupied country. Israel requires visitors from the West Bank and Gaza to obtain permits to travel to these prisons. This restrictive permit system is a serious obstacle for lawyers and families. 94 of these 195 children are held in Ofer prison in the West Bank. All these detention facilities have been equipped by British-Danish security firm G4S. The Electronic Intifada added that Who Profits, a project of the Coalition of Women for Peace based in Tel Aviv, has researched G4S's role in securing Israel's prisons. They found that G4S Israel has installed and operates the central control room of the Megiddo prison. It has provided the entire security systems and central control room in Hasharon and the security systems for Al-Jalameh and Muscovia, also known as the Russian compound detention and interrogation centers. At Ofer prison, G4S has installed peripheral defense systems and operates a central control room for the entire compound. Those were excerpts of a longer report published this week by Audrey Newhoff. For much more on this story, including testimonies from some of the children who have been detained and interrogated inside Israeli prisons, visit our Rights and Accountability blog at electronicintifada.net. On Friday in the West Bank, hundreds of protesters marched to demand the release of several Palestinian prisoners who remain on hunger strike inside of Israeli jails. Outside the Ofer prison near Ramallah, hundreds gathered in solidarity with Samer Issawi, who has been on partial hunger strike for nearly 200 days, and Tarek Kaadan and Jafar Azzedine, who have refused food for 80 days, according to a report by Man News. Mann added that protesters raised Palestinian flags at the entrance to the Efrat settlement colony south of Bethlehem, and Israeli forces assaulted several journalists and activists during the protests. Joining us to talk more about the demonstrations that happened on Friday across the West Bank and the situation for the ongoing hunger strikers inside Israeli jails is Murad Jadallah. He's the legal researcher at Adamir, the Palestinian prisoner support and human rights organization based in the West Bank. Murad joins us from Jerusalem. Murad, thank you so much for being with us today on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's talk about the demonstrations that happened in the West Bank on Friday. People are demanding the immediate release of hunger strikers Samer Issawi, Tarek Kadan, and Jafar Azzedine. Tell us what happened at the demonstrations and the attacks by the Israeli army on journalists and activists who were taking part.
So at 10 o'clock in this morning today, more than 1,000 Palestinian students from BZ University and from other youth movements, they participated in a big demonstration in front of Afar prison to ask for the freedom of the Palestinian prisoners who are doing the hunger strike. Samer Issawi, Ayman Sharawna, and Tarek Adan, and Jafar Azzedine. This demonstration came after the call by Khadr Adnan, the ex-prisoners who did the hunger strike for more than 66 to challenge his administrative detention order. Khadr Adnan is doing a hunger strike since 3 days in the building of the ICRC in Ramallah. And from there, he started to say that we should go to make a protest and to demonstrate in front of Ofer and to prayer in front of the prison. And this is from where the idea came to do this big demonstration. In the same time of this demonstration, other Palestinians, they did the same thing in Al-Aisawiya, which is a usual thing to protest and to demonstrate against Israeli soldiers, to call for the freedom of Samer Issawi, who's doing his hunger strike since the 20th of August 2012. Samer Issawi is coming from this village, from Al-Aisawiya, and in a daily basis there is demonstration and protest to support his hunger strike. The same thing in Jalama, where Jafar and Tarek Adan, they are coming from the north of the West Bank, and the first checkpoint for the people there is Al-Jalama prison and Al-Jalama checkpoint. And the Israeli soldiers, they shoot the protester and the demonstrator by the tear gas and the water. And also, they injured more than 150 Palestinians, some of them with bullets, with real bullets.
Live ammunition?
Yes, some of them.
What other weapons were the soldiers using against the protesters today?
The tear gas and
sound bombs, sound grenades.
Yeah, sound bomb. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when they use tear gas, they use also sound bombs.
That's the voice of Murad Jadallah. He is a legal researcher with Adamir, the Palestinian prisoner rights organization. And Murad, what can you tell us about the health situation for Samer Issawi, who, as you said, has been refusing food for nearly 200 days, and also the situation for Tarek Kadan, Jafar Azzedine, and Ayman Sharawna, who are also refusing food in Israeli jails?
First of all, we have to remind the people that the four Palestinian prisoners who are doing the hunger strike, Samer Issawi and Ayman Sharawna, they have been released from the Israeli jails during the exchange between the Palestinian faction and the State of Israel in October 2012. And according to this agreement, Israel has no right to arrest them again. But what happened with Samer and Issawi happened also with other Palestinian prisoners based on the military order 1651, and to be more specific, based on the article 186. This article gives the Israeli authorities and the Israeli soldiers the right to rearrest the Palestinian prisoners who have been released during the exchange. and Samer al-Essawi get arrested in May, while Ayman al-Sharawna get arrested in January 2012. So they started the hunger strike immediately after they get arrested. Samer al-Essawi started his hunger strike to refuse the meals in August, and since the 20th of August 2012, he refused to eat. And now he's doing his hunger strike since more than 6 months. We succeed to visit him 3 days ago. Now he's and he have like 46 kilos. And today they took him to Asaf Harofeh Hospital, which is a private hospital and civilian hospital. And his situation is very critical. He could have at any moment a heart attack, or he could, to be more direct, he could pass away at any moment. The same thing for Jafar al-Zidin and Tariq Adan. Ayman Sharawna, who started his hunger strike in the 1st of July 2012, he did 140 days, and after that, they told him that they will look in his case and they will take him to the court. And it wasn't true, so he stopped his hunger strike. And when he discovered that they are not telling the truth, and it was the election day in Israel, so he restarted his hunger strike in the middle of January. And Jafar al-Zidin and Tariq Adan, they are under administrative detention. And this is not the first time that they get arrested under the administrative detention. Jafar al-Zidin himself, he was doing hunger strike in 2012. His health is, before getting arrest the last time, wasn't so good. And now he's in hunger strike since more than 80 days. He took some glucose and some salt after 60 days from his hunger strike. But we have a big concern about his life because he's weak. He can't speak very well. They keep taking them from prison to prison, and sometimes they get insulted and beaten by the special forces, even in the hospital of Ar-Ramla prison.
And Murad, just to be clear, earlier you mentioned that Khadr Adnan, who is one of the first and longest-lasting hunger strikers last year, during the mass hunger strike protest, you mentioned he was on hunger strike for 66 days. You said he has resumed a hunger strike inside the International Committee of the Red Cross.
Exactly. And Khadr Adnan, he was in prison under administrative detention. He did a hunger strike for 66 days last year. And when, in the last 3 days ago, he started a hunger strike inside the building of the ICRC in Ramallah. And 2 days after, some people, some activists and the human rights defenders joined him, and our colleague Mohamed Al-Azza, who's working with Damir also, he joined the hunger strike, and another lawyer, Palestinian lawyer called Yasser Salah, started the hunger strike, and the mother of Hassan Karaja, which is a human rights defender, got arrested recently by the Israeli forces. So the idea behind this hunger strike inside the ICRC is to bring the attention of the international community about the situation of the Palestinian prisoners. In reaction, the ICRC decided at a very high level, maybe in Geneva, they took the decision to close the office of the ICRC in Ramallah, which could be seen as a collective punishment for the families of the Palestinian prisoners, and to create some problems between the families of the prisoners and Khadr Adnan and the other people who are doing the hunger strike. Some youth movement released a press statement and said that this is not correct from the ICRC to close the office because it is the first time that the ICRC closing their office in Ramallah. While last year, when Khadr Adnan was in hunger strike, some ex-prisoners, they did the hunger strike and they had been inside the office of the ICRC and no one asked them to leave the office, and the ICRC continue to do his work without any problem. And we know also the story of the Palestinian PLC members who have been inside the ICRC building in Jerusalem, and they get arrested by the Israeli forces from the court of the ICRC. So this is not the first time that people going to the ICRC to do hunger strike, to bring attention for the Palestinian prisoners, and the way how they get, you know, they are threatened by the Israelis, and to support their hunger strike. But the surprise from the ICRC is to close the office, and this is the first time from 67.
Okay, well, we're going to keep watching the situation very, very closely. That's the voice of Murad Jadalla. He is a legal researcher with Ad-Damir. And for more information on the work that Ad-Damir does, you can go to addamir.org. That's spelled ADDAMEER.ORG. Murad, thank you so much for being with us today on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now we go to news from the Global Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement. The Electronic Intifada reported in our Activism and BDS blog that a wave of demonstrations in Palestine and across 40 European cities this past week, quote, protested the thriving international trade with Israeli agribusiness and the deliberate destruction of Palestinian agriculture it contributes towards. Standing in solidarity with the Palestinian farmers and fishermen under attack in the Gaza Strip, which we reported on earlier in this podcast, the actions were part of the launch of new campaigns connecting Palestinian agricultural organizations, European solidarity networks, non-governmental organizations, and trade unions against Israeli agricultural export firms. The Electronic Intifada reported that in Europe this past week, many of the demonstrations targeted Mehadrin, the Israeli company that has taken Agrexco's place as Israel's leading produce export company. Our report states, quote, much like its predecessor, Mehadrin operates in illegal Israeli settlements, is involved in the theft of Palestinian land and water, and employs Palestinian workers, left with little option but to work in illegal settlements in unsafe conditions for as little as 11 euros, or approximately $15 per day. The Palestinian BDS National Committee stated that demonstrations against Mehadrin's distribution centers at customs offices and supermarkets, which carry Mehadrin's products, took place across France, Italy, Belgium, Luxembourg, Sweden, Germany, Switzerland, and the Netherlands. Meanwhile, in the UK, campaigners picketed more than 35 Sainsbury's supermarkets, quote, as part of a new campaign aimed at pressuring it to cut its ties with Mehadrin and Edom, another Israeli company operating in settlements. The UK's fifth biggest supermarket, the Cooperative Group, announced last year it would no longer source products from any supplier that operates in illegal settlements and cut ties to four Israeli companies following pressure from its members. The European Union is currently discussing introducing special labeling for settlement products. For much more on this story and other current news from the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, check out our Activism and BDS blog on electronicintifada.net. And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, pointed opinion and analysis, and action alerts by our team of correspondents and bloggers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. This week, be sure to check out our newest op-eds, including Max Blumenthal's piece, Brooklyn College Battle Reveals Hidden Agenda of Liberal Zionism. Also, a biased new study skirts around racism in Israeli school books. A U.S. university lecturer's shocking hate speech against Arab and Muslim students is condemned. Rami Al-Megadi interviews freed hunger striker Akram Rihawi, and much more. At electronicintifada.net, you can also post comments and sign up for our daily newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and a special thanks to Flashpoints and KPFA in Berkeley. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.